Hello, Regan.
Hey, Jason.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
So, how much do you know about labubus?
Okay, that's like at least the second time somebody's asked me that today. You have to tell me, what is a labubu?
Well, allow me to explain.
Yes.
A labubu is an elf-like vinyl and plush figure that is sold in limited edition blind boxes, meaning that you don't know which one you're getting until you open the box. And they sell out regularly within seconds.
Wait,
online.
Within seconds?
Yes. These blind box opening are taking the internet by storm.
So they're toys. They're like stuffed animal troll toys.
In a way, they definitely are. They have a troll-esque look to them. They are wearable as well. They come with a key ring that lets you hang them on your purse or belt loop. When I first started seeing them and hearing about them, I thought they were very similar to Beanie Babies as well, because...
Now you're speaking my language.
Now we're
there. Beanie Babies. Okay. I used to have a lot of Beanie Babies. There was a point when I became a Beanie Baby collector, but part of the point was I would pick out visually in the store which Beanie Baby I needed to add to my collection. If I just had to open box after box of Beanie Babies and I kept getting Quackers the Duck all the time, like what would be the point?
Well, they do have quite a variety of labubus. They have over 300 different variety, ranging from some that are 3 inches tall and around $15 to some that are 31 inches tall and around $960 new. And they'll sell resale secondhand for much more than that.
Wait, 31 inches tall? What are we doing? Am I putting that on my backpack?
I suppose you could if that's what you'd like, or you could put it in your car and get into the carpool lane for free. But I needed to know more about what's going on with these plush figures, so I sat down with an expert in consumer trends to try and explain a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, hi, I'm Cami Krulik, and I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Marketing at Florida State University, and I specifically study consumer behavior. So I run experiments that looks at the intersection of psychology and marketing, and I'm really interested in things like hedonic and experiential consumption, so consumption that we do for the joy of it, to get pleasure from it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to speaking about labubus with you.
Yeah, I think everyone's excited to be talking about labubus, as evidence from my TikTok and Instagram feeds.
Yes, they are everywhere currently. So yeah, there is obviously a moment happening here with these labubus. We've seen very popular adult collectibles like Funko Pops previously, but those were usually directly tied to some existing media or intellectual property. You know, if you like Star Wars, you might want to collect Star Wars Funko Pops. And we are seeing some of that start with labubus, but that isn't mostly where the impetus to get them is coming from. So can you explain a little bit about what you're seeing with labubus that could explain in part this kind of frenzied atmosphere for these plushy figures?
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of things driving this. So there is a little bit of intellectual property behind it, but it's not like the Star Wars, the big franchises that you'd be expecting. So this is based on the monsters, and these were storybooks that essentially came out in 2015. And they're primarily being driven by sort of this interest in that artistic endeavor. And so I think that... These characters, of course, are pretty charming. So there's a lot of debatability around if they're cute or not. But they're certainly kind of creepy cute or aesthetic in a particular way. And I think that that sort of yields some interest in sort of this mischievous character that they've created. And so I think that there's some excitement and popularity around that. There's a huge rise in the cute culture, primarily made popular in Eastern Asia. And sort of that cuteness and things that we see coming out of Japan and Korea and China, of course, making really popular and having a huge global influence on the rest of us, and we see sort of that coming through in, you know, American society. So we see kind of this rise in the cute culture, And so I think that that's driving some of Labubu's popularity. But there's a couple of other things that are kind of coming through. Just in the way that people collect other things like Star Wars figures, because they like to connect themselves with that sort of identity and that community, we see those same things coming through here. So Labubu's allows individuals, typically adults who are very digitally connected and urban, to express a certain level of cultural capital, meaning they have a certain knowledge or expertise, something that they've sort of taste that they have acquired, and it allows them to express themselves, to express their personal identity. So what you see here is kind of this connection with Labubu's is allowing people to essentially say, like, I'm in the know. I know about these characters. I know about their popularity. I am expressing some sort of expertise in some way because I know which ones are, you know, very popular and very collectible and the ones that are hard to get. So in some way, it's allowing people to express something about their identity. And so while that's not different from other collectibles that we see that are super popular, we know that's one of the forces that are driving Labubu's popularity. And then I think a third main thing that is driving this is this feeling of scarcity, right? So collectors of these Labubu's, they get emotionally attached to these characters. They have certain ones that they would like to acquire. They might be trying to acquire full sets or certain colors or certain collaborations. And this process, this thrill of the hunt, allows them to feel achievement and success and get value out of the process of collection. So I think it's those three things that are really helping drive the popularity of Labubu's.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so you touched on this a little bit with that answer, but could you talk about the what goes into the psychology of these consumer trends and specifically the desire for people to start collections of consumer goods rather than, say, historical items or natural items like rocks or crystals?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's completely different. I think it's just sort of different layers and different degrees. And what I mean by that is you can collect rocks and that will give you the same sense of thrill of the hunt and feeling of expertise and accomplishment when you complete your rock set. But I think that what we're seeing here specifically with these consumer goods and collecting consumer goods is that that's all sort of amplified. So like when we see this explosion of interest, you can get a lot more social and cultural capital by connecting with so many other consumers. So whereas you might not have as much, you know, social capital collecting rocks, certainly collecting these consumer goods allows you to link with a brand community. And we actually have a name for that. So brand community is specifically referring to collectors who participate in, you know, online forums and trading events and fan pages, local meetups and events, all connecting based on a brand. And so this is not, you know, Labubu's is not the first one who's created a brand community. We know like Harley Davidson is notorious for having developed a huge following of consumers that all link up based on their love and affiliation for Harley Davidson. But what we're seeing here is that Labubu's is very adept at creating their own brand community. So when you know, you know. Unfortunately, I've been mostly not in the know on Labubu's, so I have come across them, you know, to some degree. But, you know, I'm very much on kind of the fringe of the brand community where those who are truly embedded and are real fans of these Labubu's, you know, they know how to swap. They trade tips on where to find them, on who has what. They participate in posting about opening the box, you know, and revealing which Labubu is inside these mystery boxes. And so there's a lot of brand community and social belonging that occurs around these Labubu's and these, you know, other sort of consumer products and consumer goods.
Absolutely. And so one of the trends that I saw a lot of similarities between was Labubus and the Beanie Baby trend of the 1990s. Obviously, they're both kind of plushy figures, and they do have their differences, but could you talk about a little bit about the similarities between these two trends and maybe how much appreciation and value played into both and differently?
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of similarities with Beanie Babies, and I might be aging myself a little bit here, but I was certainly in the target market when Beanie Babies came onto the scene. So Beanie Babies are slightly different than Labubus because Beanie Babies were originally targeted as a children's toy. So it was meant for children, whereas Labubus are actually meant more for adult collectors. But yeah, I was a child during the Beanie Babies phase. And so a lot of the similarities here is like this idea of scarcity. So with Beanie Babies, for example, and I remember this specifically, our moms were trading information and tips on where you could get certain Beanie Babies, like who was getting a shipment when and what they had. And so, you know, all in aid of helping their kids, you know, collect these Beanie Babies. And so there was this feeling of scarcity because Beanie Babies would get retired or their ones were ones that you didn't get access to. So that shares characteristics with Labubus, where there are certain limited edition ones or certain collabs that are really challenging to acquire. And so both have that kind of in common. And I think that the major difference actually between these is how social media and kind of the digital nature of things have played into. So before, where this rarity was all sort of word of mouth and like communicated through, we even like would buy these books like that would say how valuable your Beanie Babies were, and we'd look it up and like calculate how much money we had in our Beanie Babies. You know, obviously social media has facilitated like a much bigger communication forum or platform around this. So like it's more about, you know, unboxing and displaying how you're using it. So I think that the major difference there is like one being like a very traditional word of mouth with Beanie Babies, and like the Labubus, I feel like, have been able to get so big so fast because of the enhanced communication factor through social media. And then I think another major difference with Beanie Babies is, and maybe this is due to my lack of being an insider, I've sort of admitted I'm not like central circle of Labubus, but with Beanie Babies, a lot of the adults that joined in the collection of these Beanie Babies were doing so as like an investment vehicle. So like they were hinging their retirement on these Beanie Babies. And I think that that was kind of because in the 90s, there was this sort of dot-com era where it felt like everything was just getting bigger, bigger, bigger. eBay was new. And so people weren't as skeptical about these dolls holding value. Like this was sort of, I think, the first major time on like a huge scale people thought like, oh, these high values that I'm seeing are going to persist into the future. Consumers have seen now these trends happen. And so while the Labubus, you know, they're like about $30 here in the US, you know, they can be resold on resale markets for like hundreds of dollars or even up into the $1,000. But I'm not sure people are using them as an investment vehicle. Like they know that they're paying that, you know, whatever, $500 to get that rare Labubu as an exchange because they want that Labubu, not because they think that they can then turn around and, you know, sell it in 10 years time for $1,000. So I don't think that there's that same, I don't know, wild optimism that these toys are going to remain super valuable. And I actually think that that makes it a bit more of an authentic craze. You know, hopefully people understand that when they're buying these things and participating in the hunt and all of that, the joy is in the process and not in like what you can turn around and, you know, financially gain from it.
Absolutely. Well, Professor Krolik, I really want to thank you for speaking with me about these labubus. I've learned a lot, and I really appreciate your insight into the consumer nature of what's going on.
Of course. It was a great chat. Thank you so much.